What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Cheeky Midweeky, where we are making strength and conditioning not boring anymore, and we do that by highlighting the practitioners that make this the best field in athletics. And as you know, we don't always just talk to strength coaches, because strength coaches, we collaborate with everybody in the high performance team. In this episode, this is one of those. We are talking with a dietitian, nutritionist, Jessica Isaacs. Jessica joins us again. This time, she is now working with the USC, the real USC. I don't call South Carolina USC. USC, University of Southern California, and she works with the men's basketball team. And in this conversation, we talk about the ins and outs of how you work with a Division I basketball team and how you fuel them from a nutrition standpoint. If you don't work with basketball and you want to learn about nutrition and how to better fuel your athletes, this episode is for you. Enjoy.
So I'm going to take some credit for this. So Christine Turpin, we had an extra office. The strength staff did. Long story short, there was an extra office upstairs. Nobody was going to use it, but it was located right next to her fuel zone, and she had nowhere to store stuff, nowhere to meet with athletes one-on-one. I was like, why don't we give that to Christine? The strength staff literally would use it to go take a nap upstairs. I'm like, can we, why do we, let's give it to her. You know what I mean? So I'm taking credit.
Yeah. I've been in many a storage closets or whatever leftover space is available.
Okay, USC basketball, come on now. Y'all got to help my girl out. Get her a different spot. You know what I mean? Let her see some daylight.
My spot is, though, it is in the fueling station. So right behind me is the fueling station. And so really great for the athletes come and go, and they can just stop in. They know where to find me. It's a good location more than it is a great office.
And hey, they say it in real estate, location.
You got it.
So since we last spoke, now you're at USC, and you might want to change your Twitter handle to at basketball nutritionist or something, right? Like, the basketball world just keeps pulling you back in.
They can't get enough, huh? You would think I was a hooper of some sort, but zero basketball.
What is the most interesting part about working with a basketball athlete? And I say that caveating it with, I was really good friends with the basketball strength coach at Towson. And he was talking about, he was really having a challenging time trying to get athletes to eat a vegetable his line was, I need our nutritionist and I need everybody to understand how important and how cultural nutrition is. And he was trying to really just emphasize that. What does that phrase mean to you? And how can us strength coaches best help support nutritionists working in that world?
Yeah, I would agree. I was talking to someone yesterday and they were asking me about if I manage all of their calories and meals and everything, this finite level. And I'm like, no, they're not that dialed in. Like, they're not even that dialed in on the NBA level, to be honest. Like, we're so far from that. And for a lot of them, like, just getting them to eat a vegetable is a win. So it's starting off of meeting them where they're at, understanding what their habits and norms were, what they grew up with, what they're used to. Because I think an interesting thing that I find in basketball, and it's probably with a lot of sports, is they're creatures of habit and like routine and always done this. It works for me. So even if you're throwing something new at them, that with all this information about how this could possibly help them if they were to change something, they're stuck in, this is my game day routine. This has always been my game day routine. It's worked up till now. So there's no problem with that. But yeah, there's a lot of just trying to provide endless education opportunities and resources for them to improve, but taking it incrementally and working on developing that relationship. Some guys start off and they already are really bought in, where again, some guys, if we can just get them to like maybe not have Chick-fil-A every day or Taco Bell every day, maybe drink some water every now and then.
It's interesting you said that, though, because you don't want to be the one that messes up their routine and then they're like, oh, I didn't play well because Jess or whatever, any insert the name of the person that changed their routine. And now we know that's not the case. You know what I mean? But you still have to dance that fine line.
There is such a mental component too, right? Because I've got some players that have seen the results of their energy fading because they're not taking in enough carbohydrates, but there's someone that's never really eaten right before a game. And so they're stuck in that of, hey, I feel like if I do eat, it's going to mess with me psychologically, or it's going to upset my stomach, or that anxiety that goes in. And it's just trying to incrementally get them to trust themselves, not necessarily trust me, like, great, trust me, but like trust in themselves and trust their own bodies, and the trust that their bodies are resilient and can adapt to the changes that they're throwing at it.
Speaking of changes, basketball is to me most known for being a fluid world. Practices come, go, practices, schedule time changes, basketball. Like, how do you work with athletes where they're, okay, maybe Johnny doesn't want to eat so close before practice, but then if practice gets moved, how do you then, okay, now practice is moved and you missed, you don't want to go too long without eating something. Where do you meet the athlete?
Yeah, so I think part of that is coaching them up on we have to be able to adapt and understand the whys of why of how we're doing it so that we're not locked into like I have to eat it this time and this time. Like knowing that if I didn't get a full breakfast because training moved up and I'm not going to be able to get the dining facility or whatever the case may be, eat a full meal, let it digest before I roll into training. Cool. Let's just get something in and then know that we have to make up for that in the back end. So it's educating them on, listen, if we didn't get stuff here, if we didn't get protein in our breakfast meal, that's fine. We can have protein at any time of the day. So long as we're getting enough in, we can load that up on the back end sort of thing. And then just also just show, we've had just a bunch of different games so far, different times, helping them adapt and adjust their schedules. And so that they can see, what am I thinking through? How should they be thinking through how to make those changes, in order to accommodate their needs, energy-wise, performance-wise, recovery-wise. Yeah.
Are you seeing dudes eating during training, whether it be basketball practice or like during a lift, or hey, I want a bar or some apple or an orange or some grape? And I saw that happen at TCU football, and I was like, this is actually pretty darn cool.
Yeah, some of my guys will like a lot of like applesauce packets, fruit chews. I'll hand them to them and like at half have snacks out at halftime. That might be where we get some more stuff in. But I'll also on the bench, if I see a guy that comes out that's playing a lot of minutes and I know that he's, I'll throw him a packet of like fruit snacks or whatever. And a lot of them are starting to really buy into the under and understand that they need to continue to fuel, not just right before a game or practice, but through. And also sports drinks work really well there. A sports drink with carbohydrates, that's something that they can just drink, knocks out a couple things, hydration plus carb energy at the same time.
Get CEUs faster, cheaper, and more convenient than ever before with Strength Coach Network. Hey, it's Justin here to tell you about how Strength Coach Network can now help you out with our premium membership and CEUs to the NSCA and CSCCA. Upon signing up for our premium membership, you will get 2.0 or 10 CEUs immediately. That is an entire year's worth of CEUs that you are able to access from the convenience of your office. No traveling for conferences, no waiting on flights, no eating out, no expensive hotels, just the good stuff from great coaches. Now, if you need extra CEUs for past years during the reporting period, we can bundle Fundamentals 1 or 2, which also come with 2.0 or 10 CEUs, to your purchase. That way, you're able to take care of your CEUs for the best price, most convenient, and learn from some of the best coaches. If you want more help with this, email us at service@strengthcoachnetwork.com. Or visit us at strengthcoachnetwork.com, and I would be delighted to help you out.
As a nutritionist, this whole new world of the new Big Ten, right, is the word that I hear in football. Are you seeing, feeling like, how does a nutritionist handle all of the added travel now in this new world? Because now you have a little bit of the pro side, but not as much because they will fly. It's not like a whole leg where they're gone, but there is a substantial amount more of travel.
Yeah, really big snack bags. Like really full snack bags. So I will send them individual snack bags anytime they go anywhere with just a bunch of different carb and salty and protein nuts, things like that. And so I'll load them up with more when they're traveling. And then also inside of it, I include an education that's related to their trip. So two games, like this is what you should do between game one and game two to make sure that you're recovered. It's going to be a factor. We're going to be jet lagged. So take this tart cherry juice before bed. Or if you have an opportunity to take a nap, do this. You're flying X amount of hours. 8 ounces of water is what we should aim to consume for every hour that we fly. So I'll give them the education related specifically to their travel. But yeah, there's a lot more things. Honestly, I think on the road is easier for some guys to eat because they don't have the class schedule as much. They have less to juggle and they're just there following the routine of the team because, but it's a much more challenging, right? They're gone a lot longer. I'm not traveling with the team right now. There's a lot of opportunities, I think, where things can happen, or there might be some needs or some changes that come up. And yeah, it's just we're still navigating all of that and learning what the challenges will be. And my basketball team, we haven't really done a big trip yet. That's still coming.
I wrote down that the note, the thing that you did, like that little, hey, here's a tip when you travel. Anybody that's listening to this, steal that. Tell other people to do that. That's brilliant in a way to truly get some buy-in, because instead of the athletes being like, oh, here we go, just saying the same thing over and over again.
Love to do
Dude,
this. Some of
hit
the
it.
one
Yeah. Hey,
of
beat the Huskies. That's awesome.
yeah.
Dude, bravo by you.
Thanks. Thanks.
How involved, and this question is coming from, I used to have parents during the recruiting process that would ask me about nutrition, and they'd be like, oh, I got to get him to eat. Like, you don't want to
Yes.
eat. Are you getting those questions, and how are you able to connect to mom, dad, whoever it is, bringing the recruit on campus and trying to, again, form that relationship? Because it does start at in that immediate aspect of it, because nutrition is becoming a big deal within where athletes decide to go nowadays.
Yeah, no, yeah. So I'm a part of the recruiting process. They'll come through and I'll do a little spiel and show them. I ask the guys too, like, hey, the guys that we currently have, if you were coming here or if we were pitching, what would you want? What that we do would you be excited about? And they just want to know. They want to share with the athletes. You get food, you get smoothies, you get snacks, all of those things. But of course, the parents want to know on a greater level. Are you going to help my kids stop eating DoorDash and Taco Bell and spicy Takis? And the answer is, we're going to work on
Kinda.
it. Kind of. But as a parent of a child that's close in age to a lot of my athletes, I get it. They don't listen to mom and dad as much sometimes, especially because I have the resume that I have. They're more willing to listen to me and buy in versus, no kid wants to listen to mom and dad
No.
when it comes to nutrition. So it's a little bit of addressing mom and dad's questions that they're going to be t well taken care of, that we're going to work on things, but the kid has to want to buy into it too. They have to want to make the changes too. I can give them all of the resources and education in the world, but they've got to choose to put the food in their mouth or not put the food in their mouth.
Yeah, my kids don't, they don't want to listen to dad either. Like,
Yeah.
dad doesn't know what he's talking about. You kidding me? Like, I'm not listening to that guy. I'll listen to somebody else.
Absolutely.
Have you noticed within this fluid world of basketball, where I think it's anybody can be 1 through 5 nowadays, and the Wembys where you 7-5 and you do, has that changed your or the nutritional advice of you and coaches and gain weight or not gain weight? How does that look now in basketball just with the game changing?
It's interesting. I think a lot of the guys coming in, especially when you're coming in from high school, where we're at different levels developmentally when it comes to like puberty and ability to put on muscle mass. So a lot of guys come in needing to put on size, frankly. And that's the same thing in the NBA when they're getting drafted. A lot of them need to still put on size to compete at that level. But I think it's all going to come down to I'm going to coach them based on, body composition goals, which still in basketball, you want a guy with muscle, but you want a guy that's lean and able to move and able to get up. So it's keeping that lean body composition while putting on muscle mass, keeping body fat in moderation. But I'm from nutrition wise, I'm coaching them up on specifically to like their both their body composition goals and then the minutes they're playing, a volume of training and that sort of thing. And that might be in flux from day to day, week to week, based on what the load looks like.
You looking at like truly getting in the weeds of, hey, this is what your practice load looked like, or like games. Hey, we got to reload based off how much you're playing.
Yeah, like this is a heavy day, so we need to eat a lot. But a heavy day might also be like this is a heavy day for training, but it might also be a heavy day for classes. So that might actually be like a bad eating day for a kid. So we're looking at, all right, what can we get in that's going to be higher calorie nutrient dense or calorie dense that we can take to class and recovery wise. But then on an off day, which people might think I'm not training, so I don't need to eat, that might be a day where we're actually catching up, where I'm actually going to have them eat a lot more calories on that lighter day. So it really is so individualized based on both their training load, but also their lifestyle, their schedule, and their opportunities.
What's up, everybody? Taking a quick break from the show to talk about one of our sponsors, Team Builder. I've been using Team Builder since 2019 when I was at Towson. I still use it with my remote athletes. I also use it at Goldfinch, which is the private sector gym I train at, and we use it at Centennial, which is the high school that I'm working at. Now, if you're printing on lift cards because you say, oh, I can't afford Team Builder, guess what? Team Builder has a pre-written grant that you can locate on their website. You simply change the name of you, your organization, and the areas that they highlighted, and they can help you get Team Builder at your facility, your university, whatever it is, so that way you can optimize how you train your athletes with this software. Now, Team Builder is also a part owner in the PlyoMat. The PlyoMat is something that I utilize at Goldfinch, and it helps you be able to see how high somebody jumped, the ground contact time, and RSI. You can get all that conveniently right there. You can reach out to your rep from Team Builder to be able to get more information on the PlyoMat. It's fast, it's reliable, it's convenient, and it's trusted by coaches worldwide. Check them out as well as Team Builder in the link down below.
What excites you most about doing this with a new group of people, a new population? Like, what just gets you like, man, this is what excites me? Almost the flip or the same that you're asking the basketball players, but now at the flip, it's you. Like, what are you most excited to talk about to people?
For me, so I was at the collegiate level with basketball and then pro level with basketball and now back to collegiate. And At the pro level, it was obviously it was fun, right? It's fun working with top performers, but there were a lot of my skills that weren't utilized at that level, and there were a lot of guys that were just kind of like set and just wanted just help do their things that they already do, right? Whereas here, a lot of the guys are coming in with no nutrition education, and they're excited to learn and get better. A lot of them are trying to move on to the next level versus like already having a seat on a roster somewhere, so they're hungry to improve, and so there's buy-in.
Hungry.
Whether
Was that pun intended?
They're hungry, whether that is just like that they're willing to try collagen or that they're willing to revamp their diet or that they really want to attack some body composition goals and really work on those. I'm just excited to see guys invested and interested at any level, even if that's just literally that they will work with me on drinking an extra bottle of water each day. Just that, I think that hunger to get better and to is really exciting for me.
You brought up collagen. It was one of the questions that I wrote down. I heard some people saying that people don't need collagen if you're getting enough whey protein in your diet and there's no need for supplementing with collagen. Would you agree with that? Or you'd say, no, it's a matrix. Top right would be, yeah, eat real food and have collagen. Or what are your thoughts and what does the research support with it?
Yeah, research is variable with collagen. And first of all, when you're in your early 20s, your collagen synthesis, your natural collagen synthesis works decently. It's when you get to your mid and later is when that collagen synthesis starts to decline and we can benefit from supplementation potentially. There's conflicting research on whether it goes to where it's supposed to go to, where we want it to go to, versus like just being broken down into individual amino acids and used towards your total protein intake for the day. But it's also, there's a potential for it to help, and also not much potential for it to hurt. If somebody has a poor diet to begin with, it's going to help. Most of the people that I'm working with are nowhere close to being dialed in nutritionally. And so, again, for them, whether it's extra protein or it's going to where we want it to go to fortify joints and tissues and all of that sort of thing, it's a win overall for me. But yeah, if you were looking at, all right, I have a limited amount of funds or desire and to pick and choose where I'm supplementing, it wouldn't be the first one that I would go to. There are a lot of other things that I think you're going to get more bang for your buck with, or just improving your baseline diet. You're going to get a lot more bang for your buck there. Also important for collagen synthesis is vitamin C, whether you're taking that together or whether you're just getting enough vitamin C in your diet to begin with to support natural collagen synthesis. That's also important.
The strength coach listening to you right now is like, all right, that's awesome. Where should they start, and where should you or an athlete that's not eating, would it be to automatically, hey, you're not eating anything, let's just eat something and try to throw in some supplements? You're going to go whole food only. What does it look like? What should, because there are going to be some worlds where strength coaches are, the nutritionist isn't on staff because the university or the organization doesn't have the funds. So we are stepping in and we're trying to do our best. What should that look like? Say, hey, do take the supplement, don't take the supplement, push real food over them. What should we do?
Yeah, it's not, unfortunately, not a one size fits
Yeah, it
all,
depends.
but
I know you were gonna skink. Give me a
yeah.
little something.
Yeah, food first, and like whole foods are great, but you're not going to get, if you're talking about college kids, you're not going to get them to eat all whole foods. They're going to be picking up fast food. They're going to be working with what's available, what's convenient. And sometimes we need the convenient options, the things that are in packages to get through the day, to take to classes, to get enough calories. I'd look at probably protein first, to be honest, because like we a lot of my guys, like there's no problems eating carbs unless someone is carb avoidant, then I would probably work on carbs. But we can store carbs, we can store fat, we don't store protein. So if we're not getting enough each day, we're breaking down tissue in order to provide our body with what it needs. So I would look at like protein intake and make sure that we're like getting enough protein in meals. Maybe look at a protein supplement or whey or protein drinks to add in if we're looking at what can we add to our fueling station that's going to be beneficial. And then like the next supplement I would look at is probably creatine. I think that would be the next thing in line, and collagen would probably be like number 10 or 12 for me.
What's up, everybody? Taking a quick break from the show to talk about one of our sponsors, Hawken Dynamic. I've been using Hawken Dynamics ever since I was at Towson. Still utilize it today when I'm at the private sector at Goldfinch. even brought the plates from Goldfinch over to Centennial to do some force plate testing with the football team there. We've done force plate testing with other high school athletes. It is something that you need to get. If you want more help with it about how to practically use it and you want to reach out to us, feel free to reach out to us at service@strengthcoachnetwork.com. Not only do I utilize it with lower body assessments, I use it with upper body assessments, plyo pushups, prone Y assessments. You can also utilize it for what I call an upper body isometric mid thigh pull, where essentially you're doing a push up at the strongest range and you're pushing into an immovable force, so a barbell, same way you do an isometric mid thigh pull. Like I said, been using them for years, valid, reliable. The customer service is fantastic. Go check out Hawk and Dynamic in the link down below and you will not be disappointed.
Multivitamins too, right? Because the whole creatine thing nowadays is not only just the for your muscles and for your body, but for the brain health as well, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So whether it's concussion, recovery, prevention of the severity of traumatic brain injury, so contact sports especially, it's great, but also like mom and dad, neurodegenerative disorders. I've seen something recently that said even just supplementing with creatine, one scoop can make you potentially smarter. I don't know on what scale or what we're using to measure that, but I'm a big believer in creatine for pretty much anybody for a bunch of different reasons. So
on the flip side of what we were talking about before, what are some things that strength and conditioning coaches need to have cleaned up because there's some misinformation in the nutrition world or things that you see circulating that you're like, ay, what is going on? This can't be the case. Like, we as an industry of sports performance, athletic development need to make sure that we get this right.
Well, there's a lot of crazy things that I see online. But one thing that I've experienced with a lot of strength coaches that I've worked with are seen is that they're really into like the Huberman podcast or like other things like that. But I see a lot of people that are like really anti-sugar, but sugar is, it's a highly debated topic if we're talking about like added sugars versus natural sugars. But I think a lot of times like strength coaches come at it from this idea that what I see is that sugar promotes inflammation, so we shouldn't take in sugar. But when you're talking to some athletes, they don't understand the nuances of that. Hey, I do actually need sugar for training, and I can choose a banana or I can choose some fruit chews that are purely high fructose corn syrup. But like, nothing's negative is going to happen because I'm going to use all that right now for energy. My body's not storing up a toxic load of things. I'm using that to burn off, right? I shouldn't be eating Pop-Tarts and all kinds of like sugary drinks, sugary items, maybe outside of training, especially if I'm trying to recover well or have body composition goals I'm working on. But I think just like the nuances of carbohydrates are really important because I get a lot of athletes that are avoidant of carbs because of something that their strength coaches told them, that, hey, the sugar's bad for you, it's going to promote inflammation, or the processed foods are bad for you, they're going to promote inflammation. And I think we have to understand a little bit of nuance because you got guys that just don't know how to navigate that. They don't know what to do with that information. Like so I don't eat any sugar, I don't eat any carbohydrates, I just have protein, protein, protein. And that's not going to help with performance.
Strength and conditioning coaches out there listening, please, I really hope y'all are not telling athletes not to have fruit because it's got sugar in it. Please, come on now. There's like the natural sugar, and like she just said too, I remember seeing at TCU, they had some, I think it was like, what are those things called? Like munchkin type donuts, like in a group of three, like in the middle of training. If you're a rocked up skill dude, yeah, eat those in the middle of training and go and train hard, and it's going to help you with getting those energy stores, and you're going to go and your training is going to be good.
Taking a quick break from the show to talk to you about one of our sponsors, Powerlift. I used Powerlift when I was at Harvard, Maryland, and the University of Iowa. I was also part of the staff that had the new weight room at the University of Iowa, the 32 rack, beautiful facility. I was a part of that. I also have Powerlift's equipment nowadays. Powerlift Strong, made here in the great state of Iowa, in the great country of the United States. They're able to work with you on any customizations that you need, logos, height, whatever it is, the limitations that you have. Their equipment is strong. The people there, they're very good people. Check them out in the link down below. And if you have any questions on how to work with them, reach out to us at service@strengthcoachnetwork.com and we would be delighted to help.
It's not going to affect your body composition if you're eating it around and during that training. Your body's going to pull that carbs, the sugar out of your bloodstream into your muscles to provide it with energy. And we're using it that way. It's the other times of day when we're not active and we have to look at like insulin secretion and fat storage and that thing. But like the sugar that we consume around activity is utilized so long as we're active and we're training hard, which a lot of the people we're talking to are.
And a lot, especially yours, because the sport of basketball, like I said, the game is changing, especially with like the timeouts, but they are just going up and down on the court. Like it's the game of basketball. There is very few, that's why they have to have all those media timeouts for them to actually sit and stop and have a little bit of recovery.
Absolutely, absolutely.
One question that I just thought of when we were talking about that, though, is how do you then handle the reserve players? Because you talked about like, all right, the high minute players that are having high loads in games. Do those other players that aren't playing as much, do they legitimately need to be eating less so that way they have their body composition goals? Like in an ideal world, what does that look like for them too?
Yeah, it does depend on what, like how utilized or not utilized they are. Because a lot of our walk-ons and practice players, they're going to do a full practice and they're going to do a full game warm-up. When it comes to the games, they're not going to play the games. They might not be in as many, I wouldn't even say, like they're practicing and training just as hard. I mean, they're in
Correct.
the
Yep. It's just the games that they're not, right?
games, right? So we're gonna take off maybe a little less, especially if they're coming. I've had some guys recently that have came in that are we did body composition tests and they didn't have the best results. And we talked about, are we playing less than maybe you were before you transferred here or before you started playing? And so for them, they're playing more minutes, and so they just have to scale back a little bit on what their intake is. And yeah, again, individualized, depends on their specific needs. But for some of them, yeah, they do have to consciously understand that they're playing and performing less minutes, and so they need to taper things a little bit. But still, like I said, practices they need to feel the same.
What's your go-to body composition tool?
What's up, y'all? Taking a quick break from the show to talk to you about another one of our sponsors, Vitruv. I've been utilizing Vitruv for a while now, and I absolutely love the convenience of this app. The encoder is at a price that you cannot beat compared to the competitors. Also, I don't personally like the camera apps. I've known that they continue to break down, and I really enjoy having this encoder attached directly to the bar. Vitruv does that. Not only does it do that, but it'll show me velocity loss during the set, shows me average velocity, all of it right within the app. Not only that, for the app on the individual athlete, there's a Vitruv Teams app where now, as the coach, I can see all the results from my athletes. I can API that into my team builder, and now everything that I'm trying to do, get better competition, better intent in the weight room, I am able to do with Vitruv. If you want more information about them, click the link down below, or you can ask us questions directly at service@strengthcoachnetwork.com, and we would love to answer those questions for you.
We've got a bod pod. It's easy. I like a DEXA because you can look at bone density too. But the bod pod's nice and easy. It's considered a gold standard as far as body composition measurement. Fast.
Yeah, we got a pod at Towson as I was on my way out the door, but we got that because we had the DEXA scan and the DEXA was like 15 minutes away, 10, 15 minutes away. The parking lot was awful. And I'm like, y'all ain't gonna go there. I know you're not. Like, can we
Yeah.
just get, let's get this bod pod. Like you said, we'll do the DEXA maybe once a year, but like for the, hey, if I want to assess you every once a quarter or once 3 times a year, okay, we can utilize this device.
Totally. Yeah, we at UCLA, we brought in like a mobile DEXA van that would come around, and that
I
was
saw that
cool.
at TCU. That
Oh,
was
yeah.
super cool.
Super cool. Yeah, that's an awesome way to do it. Yeah.
Pratik Patel listened to the last episode and he's a fan of yours and had a lot of good things to say about you. And he talks a lot about magnesium.
Yeah.
And is that something that is a supplement that you also recommend for our listeners out there to be like, yeah, no, magnesium is something that I should be considering adding to my repertoire?
It's so funny. I'm literally about to put a post of magnesium now today on my USC nutrition page. But yeah, magnesium is a big one. A lot of people are deficient in it. It's involved in a lot of different nerve contractions, but sleep is the big component, right? I've seen a lot of people doing like magnesium and tart cherry juice at bedtime for the recovery benefits there. But yeah, magnesium is a great one. You get magnesium from nuts and seeds, pumpkin seeds, quinoa has some, spinach has some, cashews, almonds are magnesium rich, so we can get more of those in our diet. It's beneficial. I tell guys too, like nuts are good for your nuts.
That's fantastic.
Nuts and seeds.
There's so many different types of magnesium, though. So, what's the one? What is your opinion? What does the research say?
Magnesium glycinate is the most commonly recommended one. There's other forms that can cause some like GI issues and that sort of thing, but that one is one of the most bioavailable, easily absorbed forms.
What's your best, most recent success story of something you're like, man, I'll tell you what, Justin, I'm so proud that we were able to, and you don't have to say any athlete, I'm not no personal nothing, but you're like, hey, this success story we had, this kid that was doing this and now he's doing that, and it's just so awesome to see. What's been that proud mom moment for you working over at US?
So I'm thinking of one player in particular. We just did body composition. The kid came in and we've done USC has a brand new basketball team. Every single except for one athlete is brand new this year, transferred or as a freshman, plus new coaching staff. So it's all fresh faces. And so a really cool opportunity for me because they're starting with Jessica's plan. You know what I mean? Like they're
Good for
not coming
you.
from the past. But this particular kid has made a lot of strides before I got here. I got here like September timeframe. So I'd seen the June body composition test. We did the September one, saw a lot of progress, credited a lot towards the strength coach. And then we'll take dual credit for his results most recently because this guy's like really bought in into all of the areas. So he's putting in the extra work. He's putting in the work in the weight room. He wants to get better. He's trying different things, beat shots, black current shots, like things that like a lot of kids will turn their noses up on. He's a guy that was cramping a lot originally. And so we've been working on hydration testing and dialing in hydration, especially on game days. And this kid is now, he's one of the newer, younger kids. He started the last couple of games because he just made such great progress and improvement in so many areas. He's super coachable, fantastic player. And so that's been really exciting to me. It's just like, look, see what you've done. You've done this. All the guys have the same resources and opportunities as you, but you chose to buy into this. You chose to do this work. You chose to get better. You chose to show up every day. You keep choosing these things and look where it's got you. Look where it's got you. And so that's like super proud mom moment.
I love to hear that. And anybody that's listening to that, hear like in her voice how genuine it is. Yes, she helped get the things there and the strength staff, they collaborated. But at the end of the day, we can't make the athletes do the thing. So you've got to pour the success on them because they're the ones choosing to do the thing so they can have the success.
Totally, totally.
Yeah, it's not us. It's remember, we're giving them the stimulus, but how many times do you lead the horse to water and they don't do it? They don't drink.
Our support staff. We
Correct. Look at this. I got my little update here. Your free meeting will end in 10 minutes. All right.
10 minutes.
10 minutes. So we're going to end this now so you can get back to work. I
Okay.
appreciate you. It's awesome to see how you seem super happy. You got a fan over here in the Midwest rooting for y'all. So keep kicking some butt.
Ah, so great to talk to you. Thanks for catching up and I appreciate you.